We will never truly have joy without God. We might have an imitation. We might have a little bit, but it's like biting a fake piece of fruit. It might look good, but it's going to be real chalky in your mouth. It's not going to be enjoyable. It's not going to give you what you're looking for, and it's not going to produce what you're actually needing in life. It's like when I look at people whose lives are falling apart, really what you can see is the common theme is they're still looking for what you have as a believer. They're looking for joy. They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for peace. They're looking for self-control. They're looking for these things just in all the wrong places. They're plugged in to a cardboard box, and you got the light of the world, and we're just watching them. You know what the world needs right now? If you read through reports, this world needs Jesus. It's really simple. This world needs Jesus. It is a mess right now. What's up, Julian? Read through the reports. Read through some studies. The amount of people that are depressed, it's through the roof. The amount of poverty is through the roof. The amount of issues that are going on is through the roof. And we've seen people plugged in to everything but God. Look, the last year, people have been plugged into fear. They've been plugged into hate. They've been plugged into depression. They've been plugged into loneliness. Some people have been plugged into politics. And we're wondering why we don't have what God has promised. It's because we're still not plugged into the right thing. And if 2021 is going to be any different for you, it's not just because we say the words change forward. It's because we plug into what God truly has for us. See, he said this. He said, you must abide in me. That word abide is really, really easy. And I was thinking about it, and it's crazy because I used to have a little affinity for when we had Sophia. We wanted a car that was dependable, and it was good, and it was easy. And it kept dying in the winter. And it was super annoying because I really don't know a blessed thing about cars. I think that winter she called me like 3 or 4 times. She's like, car died. Again, mad at me. And we had bought it so it could be consistent, so it would be an easy thing for her to do. So I go and I jump it, and a week later it would be like negative 38 degrees because we live in upstate New York, and it would die again. And then I jump it and it'd be good for a couple days, and we'd go out in the morning and it would be dead again. So we'd have to jump it again. And then finally, I'm telling my uncle about it, like, dude, this thing is ridiculous. I got to get a new battery or something. He's like, no. It's probably honestly a lot easier than that. Let me look at it. So we pop the hood, and he looks at it. He's like, oh, duh. You have a bunch of corrosion here, and your connection isn't right. And because your connection's not right, your battery is just literally going out into the air, and it's dying, sucking itself loose because it doesn't have a good connection. I was like, dang, so it's not the battery? Not the battery. So you're telling me it's not the car? It's really not the car. It's a little $3 piece that connects the battery and the car. And I think a lot of people are in this place where they're yelling at God, but really it's a connection issue. It's not a personal issue. It's not a God issue. It's a connection issue. And the corrosion has gotten the way, and it's really easy to be distracted. Look, I know people that literally spent like 20 hours a week looking at conspiracy theories about an election. And it's not bad to know what's going on. I also know people on the other side who hated somebody so much that they didn't even pray for them. Got distracted on both sides. And it's easy to fluctuate between idols. It's easy to fluctuate between distractions. It's easy to fluctuate between emotions. Check this, it's even easy to fluctuate between ambitions. Psalm 135, verse 15, it says this. This is crazy. It says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. You know what's crazy? It's a simple ploy to give a false sense of what God has to offer. And a lot of people, It's been really easy this last year. And I'm telling you what, this last year was crazy. If anybody's had a year like this before, they were alive in like 1918. No, Bruce? Bruce is safe. Okay. But seriously, we have a connection issue where it's fluctuating back and forth. And look, it's not bad to have ambitions. It's not bad to have emotions. It's not bad for these things because ultimately God put them inside of us. The question is, what does it look like when these things are done while we remain in Christ? What do our emotions look like when we remain in Christ and we don't unplug and plug in our hate and plug in our fear and plug in our depression and plug in these things? What does it look like when any other emotion comes up, we still yet remain in Christ? What does it look like when an ambition comes up, yet we still remain in Christ? What happens is your relationship doesn't die. Instead, it flourishes and it grows because productivity comes from remaining in the root. We don't dig up apple trees every year and move them. We let the roots grow deeper. And that's the issue. Oftentimes, we dig ourselves up and we plant somewhere else and we dig this up because this didn't go right and we dig this up because it didn't go right. Instead of remaining in Christ, we're moved by situations, idols, ambitions, emotions, and distractions. And the facades fade quickly because far away it can look like an apple tree, but when you get up to it, what is it actually? Apple trees are always apples. And our distractions will always be our distractions. See, the reality, though, is when we're plugged in, what Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says, but the path of the just, the path of the righteous, the path of those who remain is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until it reaches full strength and glory in the perfect day. You know what the truth is? The longer we stay plugged in, the less we become distracted, the more we become focused on the things of God, the brighter and brighter and brighter things come. It's a really, really easy catch-22 that we catch ourselves in so often. We'll be remaining in Christ, but that man or that woman will distract us like, oh, more peace, more joy, more love, more happiness, more acceptance. And we'll run that way, but we left the truth over here. When God wants to increase those things as we remain, get brighter and brighter and brighter. That's the plan of God. It's not for a loose connection. It's not for corrosion. It's not to come to death and come to life and come to life and come to death. Because you know what the reality is? The world has seen enough flickering lights. The world has seen enough dead infinities on the side of the road. I don't want to be that. Flickering lights, we know there's an issue. Like, people freak out about flickering lights. Like, oh my gosh, there's going to be an electrical problem. The whole house is going to burn down. We're going to have to get insurance. They're going to think that we did it on purpose. We're all going to die. What about the dogs? When you see a flickering light in your house, you start freaking out. Can I tell you, when the world sees flickering lights in the church, they also start freaking out. Like, dang, is their God really real? Was their God really that good? Was their God really that holy? Was he really that mighty? Was he really that awesome? Was he really, really, really that good? Or was he just a good thing for the moment to get them through their problem? And that's not the God that we serve. We don't serve a God who's just, he's not a handicap. He's not a crutch. He's not just an excuse to get us through a moment. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the I am that I am. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is above all things. All things are through him and for him and by him. He has preeminence in all things. He, like, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's the simple truth. Those in God grow. Those in God grow. Those outside of God can never truly live. It's very simple. And as we hit 2021, look, we can make Christianity this big, hard, confusing thing, but it's not. It's simple. Remain in Christ. And as you remain in Christ, he promises growth. Luke 9, 24 and 25. It says this. It says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you're trying to do it on your own, you are guaranteed to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And this is the question. For what does it profit a man if he gains the entire world but loses his soul? See, what does it profit if you get exactly what you thought you were looking for, but you walked away from Christ? What does it look like if you got everything that you ever thought you needed, but you did it outside of Christ? It ultimately profits us nothing. And what it equals is a corroded connection, a flickering life, and a decision, am I going to clean this up and am I going to get fully connected to Christ or am I going to let the battery die? Am I going to remain unplugged from the right thing and get plugged into the wrong thing? It's crazy too, because I've even seen people do it in church. They get plugged into their position, they get plugged into serving, they get plugged into religion, they get plugged into their seat, they get plugged into XYZ, they get plugged into the motions, but they get unplugged from Christ. See, the goal of Sunday is not to fulfill a religious thing, it's to spur on our relationship with Jesus. It's to equip, mature, and unify us. This is what Jesus said. He says, those who don't bear fruit, he's going to cut off. But God never birthed a branch for it to be destroyed. It's a decision, do I want this or do I not? God's not the one holding out. Like, it would be insane for God to send his son, die on a cross, so that we could have perfect relationship with him, just so he would ignore us. That doesn't make any sense. Like, God's not out to play hide and go seek. He died for relationship with us. He died for a good connection with us. He died for pure connection with us. And I know this is a simple message, but I think we need a simple message sometime and ask ourselves, am I truly connected to Christ or do I have a corroded connection? Do I have a great solid relationship with God, or are there distractions and idols and things that have birthed up inside of my heart and they're not going to let me live to the fullness of what God has for me in this year? This is his promise. He said, if you abide in me, John 15:7-8, if you abide in me and my words abide in me, in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's kind of like this. I can't walk into my house, stare at my wife, and start screaming at her, give me a baby! We're adults. We know that's not how it works. I can't just look at you like, give me a baby! Never going to get a baby that way. I can't stare at the fridge. Say, give me dinner! Doesn't work like that. I've never looked at my fridge and be like, yo, this is the worst fridge in the world. It doesn't make me dinner. It's done. I forget it. I've never been like, look, my wife won't give me a baby. She's the worst. I keep yelling at her to give me a baby and she won't. Time out. I don't want another kid. Just so we're all on the same page. It's an example. Okay, guys? Relax. All right. Ushers, I'm just playing. But here's the truth. We got a lot of people mad at God, claiming that he's not there for us, but in reality, we weren't there with him. If you want what God has for you, go back to where you left him last. He's still standing there waiting. Think about the prodigal son. His dad never left the house. He's the one that peaced out. He's the one that left the connection. He's the one that thought there was better and found out it's not true. What happened when he started going back? His father saw him coming back and then ran to him. He was right where he left his dad. You want to know where God is? Right where you stopped following him. Right where you decided that there was something better than him. Right where you left him last for something that was in your eyes greater in the moment. See, I'm telling you, this year we need to be more attached than ever. We need to be more attached than ever in 2021. What I found with electricity is the more you want, the closer you get to the box. I learned that because I almost died helping my uncle. we were fixing a panel box, and he decided not to call NYSEG and have the power disconnected while we removed, you know, the important things on the inside of the outside box, because we got this. But he never told me that, and like, in retrospect, duh, but he never told me while inside the box with the metal pliers that I shouldn't touch one part and the other part at the same time. Like, thinking back, like, duh, I should have known that. And we had a massive, beautiful boom and fireworks. But you don't have that if you're just working on a light switch inside the house, because there's something in the way. And when you get to the main panel, there's still something holding a little bit of the power back. But when you get close to that box and there's nothing else in the way, there's nothing stopping that amount of power. And you can pull as much as you want. See, the invitation is clear. You can get as close as you want to God. You can get as close to the power. You can pull as much as you want. You can grow as much as you want. It's an open invitation. Why is it that some people can be around the things of God for a year and it seems like they're more in love with God, they know more about God than people that have been in the building for 50 years? Because you can be in a building and not be close to God. It's time to make sure our connection is clean. Like, what would our life look like if we actually cleaned up that relationship with Christ? You know, like, what would it look like if our minds transformed more into the mind of Christ? What would it look like if we actually had a conviction of our sins? What would it look like if we had more passion? What would it look like if we had more passion for his kingdom? What would it look like if we lived biblical actions, not just sitting in chairs? What would it look like if we became more and more and more and more like him? What would it look like if we lived this out and we had the promise of God for not just joy, but a fullness of joy? See, I think we need to make the decision that this year I'm going to make sure I attach and I attach clean, and the distractions and the idols and the other things are moved out of the way. Again, I'm not saying a phone is bad. I'm not saying social media is bad. I'm saying if that's our idol and that's our God and that's our focus, then we've missed it. And when you're yelling at God, but we're trying to yell at him through our real idol, which is breathless and lifeless and has no truth in it. That's the issue. And what I've actually found is, like, attaching is simple. We think it's really difficult. A couple years ago, like 6 years ago, I turned the light on in the bedroom in the morning at like 6 a.m. And that's not a popular thing to do. And Mindy sat up and pulled the chain and pulled it right out in anger. I corrected her, don't worry. Be angry and sin not. We talked about it. But it's crazy because I literally looked at that fan for like 6 years. I'm like, dude, I wish we had a light in here. We got one of those stupid corner lights, and it fell over like 100 times because we have two small children, and it broke, and it was like a mess. And then we got little lights next to the bed, and it still wasn't good enough. And then I was like, dude, I'm just going to go buy a brand new fan. Like, this is stupid. I'm over this. And I was like, I wonder if that pull chain broke off all the way. And I started to look it up. And then I found for $5 in 10 minutes, I could actually replace the pull chain, and it was really easy. And for 6 years, she says eight years. I didn't have a light in my bedroom because I thought it was going to be really hard. But then I found out through a little bit of research, it's actually really easy. Really, really easy. The things you think are difficult in God are extremely easy. He didn't say, come to me and fight through this massive forest and all these issues and all these problems and it'll be really, really difficult and then you'll find me. He said, no, come to me, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Take my yoke because it's light and it's easy. Attaching to Christ is what we were designed for. But see, what we do is we get caught up in the same. Like for me, that was stupid same. Like, dude, just duh. It's just a little chain. That was stupid same. I got caught up doing the stupid same thing. And we often get caught up doing the stupid same thing. Sometimes people never change because they live in the scared same. They don't know what's beyond what they're currently doing. But can I tell you, how is it faith to never do anything that scares you? Why would God call you to give something up just to leave you with less? His goal is to give you more. Some people live in the stubborn same. Well, this is just who I am. Oh, I didn't really realize that was a description of you in the Bible. Crazy. That's wild. But whatever we're doing the same, it determines what we're going to get. If we remain plugged into Christ and that's our same, we're going to get more of Christ. We have four. I got four simple questions to ask yourself. Ready? Number one, what's the problem? You're trying to figure out what to change? Ask what's the problem. It's a really easy question that we often never ask ourselves. We're really good at assessing other people's problems, but we're really bad at assessing our own problems. Look, if you're not getting enough of Christ, if you got a corrosion, if your relationship is not how it should be, ask yourself the simple question, what's the problem? Second question, who does it affect? Because it doesn't only affect you, it affects God. It doesn't only affect you, it doesn't only affect God, it affects your direct relationships. Not only does it affect you, God, your direct relationships, but it also affects your destiny and your purpose. Third question, really simple, ready? Groundbreaking, what can I do? Maybe I need to break up with them. Maybe I need to stop going to that bar. All the bars, not just that one. Maybe I need to dump that bottle out. Maybe I need to stop going to see that same dealer. Maybe I need to stop going to that website. It's really simple. What can I do? This is very deep. Very deep teaching today. But maybe it is deep. Maybe it's I need to go forgive that person. Maybe it's I need to go forgive my ex-wife. Maybe it's I need to forgive my dad. What is it? What can I do? Maybe I need to repent. And the last one is like, no, question number four, who can help me? You don't got to do this alone. I think it's simple. We just need to reattach to the King. The problem with being a human is God gave us this thing called free will. And we can have whatever we want. We really can. And here's what I know about God. He's not like one of the desperate women on The Bachelorette hoping that he gets a rose in our life. He's not standing there like, oh my gosh, I hope I get a rose. I hope I get a rose. I hope they choose me. That's not God. That's not his position in life. His position is simple. You can have me or you can leave me, but I'm not sharing you. I'm not going to compete with these 38 other women. I'm not going to fight through your idols. I'm right here. And if you want me, I'm going to be right here. And as much as you want me, you have the ability to pull from me. And as long as you want to be connected, I'm still going to be right here. And it's our personal decision to remain connected to Christ. Some people here, I really haven't heard any Bible today. Check this out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said this. He said, therefore, brothers, I challenge you, I beseech you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. The crazy part about a living sacrifice is in the Old Testament, they gave a dead sacrifice. And the priests would kill, like they would literally kill an animal. They would prepare the altar. They would lay this animal on the altar. They would light it on fire, and everybody could tell the aroma that was going. It was their job to give the sacrifice. You know what's crazy? In the New Testament, 1 Peter declares that you are kings and priests. You are a holy generation. So in the New Testament, you are a priest. Guess what? In the New Testament, we're not called to give a sacrifice that was laid on fire. You know the sacrifice we're called to give? A living sacrifice. We're called to bring ourselves in front of God, to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And the only problem with this living sacrifice is they have a decision to make when it gets too hot. Am I going to stay on the altar, or am I going to get off and chase my other desires? What are we plugged into? Because you can chase the other desires, but it's like plugging yourself into a cardboard box. It's real dumb. It's time to get back on the altar. You know, it's time for Bible engagement. Like, how do you reattach to Christ? Engage with your Bible. Oh, look, we used to sing this in kids' church all the time. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. I think it's missing like one piece of the equation. Read your Bible, pray, and do what the Word of God says. And that's the difference with Bible engagement. We have a lot of people that know the Bible, but they don't do the Bible. You know what they are? They're the dead infinity on the side of the road. Because if we're not living the Bible, what's the point of knowing the Bible? Bible engagement will change your life. Read your Bible, find something to do that day from Scripture, and do it. It's really groundbreaking. Super difficult. But I'm telling you guys, this Christian life is easy. It's a decision that I'm going to remain in Christ, and I'm going to do the things of Christ. I'm going to remain in Christ, I'm going to do the things of Christ, and I'm going to cut out the distractions. Another great way to remain attached to the King is to attach to other people who are attached to the King. I'm serious. Join a group. And this is not just a free plug for groups. This is really Bible. Inside of a group where there's accountability, like-minded people, people that love the Word of God, people that are going to do the things of God, people that are going to challenge you to read your Scripture, attached to not only God, but attached to a group. And I promise your life will go through the roof with God this year. Well, I don't have time. Well, look, this is awesome. Because we're not going to do everything we were, and we're going to reattach to Christ, you're going to have more time. Fill it with the right things. Not the stupid same, scared same, or the stubborn same. Because you'll get the same if you keep doing those same things. I wrote this one down. Like, man, you want to be attached to Christ? Start a prayer meeting. I know one guy, he had the coolest group. Every other Friday night, they met at someone else's house, and they did this for like 30 years. They still might be doing it. And they'd have dinner, and then they'd pray for their children for like 2 hours. That's phenomenal. Find some people to do that with. Well, no one's invited me. Go invite yourself. Or invite somebody to your place. Man, but honestly, what is our connection like? You've been trying to plug into an apple. You've been running for that idol. What have you been going after? Because whatever we're plugged into is going to produce what we have in our life. It's very simple realization, but it's insanely profound when you plug into the right things. And you refuse to be distracted by lifeless idols that are going to produce nothing in your life. I'm going to read that verse again. Psalm 135. 15 through 18. The idols of the nations are silver, gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them. So all who will trust it, and so will all who trust in them. The world is thrown at a lot of things that will never produce what God has promised. But when we plug into Christ, you'll have what God has promised. You can't get the things of God by the way of the world. You only get the things of God by the way of God. And that's by abiding in relationship with Him. See, you know what I really want? You know what happens when we really grab a hold of this? Personal revival happens when we grab a hold of this. You know what happens when idols and distractions and we stop living by emotions and all these things get removed from our life? You know what happens? We fall in love with Christ all over again. the idols and the distractions are gone and they're filled with Christ. And when you fill your life with Christ, all those voids, all those issues, all those lacks are now filled with what God intended for us to live by. And as we live what God has intended us to live by, what happens is we start to then make impact on those around us. See, I've seen people, I want revival, I want God to move. Let him move in your life first. And when 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, 200, 300 people, 500 people start to live like this, you know what happens? Revival starts to happen. Because we're not just waiting on God to drop in the place. What we're saying is, God, I'm turning my heart fully towards you. And as we collectively turn our hearts fully towards God, he collectively meets us in the same place. I don't want to just wait. I'm going to chase after God. He says it like this, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. We can stay and wait for God, or we can chase after him and have him meet us just as fast as we're running. Man, I want God to move in such a way that the 13.5% poverty rate in Chemung County is eliminated. I want God to move in such a way that we stop having people overdose on heroin. I want God to move in such a way that people stop taking their lives in Chemung County. I want God to move in such a way that addiction is wiped out. I want God to move in such a way that divorce is absolutely eradicated, because people are starting to tell their friends, I know that your marriage is a mess because you just told me. Come and get a hold of this Jesus that I found. Man, I want God to move in such a way that rejection, that hate, that all of these other issues that the world are dealing with, when they look at Chemung County, it's that there's a people that got a hold of God that decided not to plug into religion or ideas or other things, but they plugged into God, and he did it personally, and then he did it corporately. But it doesn't happen when we decide. It happens when you decide. Because it's a personal decision. Man, why would we attach to God and not these other things? Because you're never going to get what you're looking for in those other things. They're lifeless. They'll give you nothing but wanting more. And the crazy thing is, when you get a hold of God, he's full of life, and he'll leave you only wanting more of life. There's only one way to actually get life, and that's through Jesus. That's it. His intention was for us to live plugged in, not corroded connections. His intention wasn't just for us to live plugged in so we could say that we go to church. It was so that we could have life and life more abundantly. It was so that we could be plugged in and we could have joy and a fullness of joy. It was so that we could be plugged in and we could have every single promise that he has for us. Promises of healing, promises of heaven, promises of prosperity, and promises of purpose. Promises of these things that I want and you want and the world wants, but it's only found in Christ and plugging in. But it's not an us thing, it's a me thing. And when we personally decide, then we start to make impact in our community. But this is a personal thing. And I really want to encourage you this year. The only way you're going to truly change forward is when you attach to the right thing, and his name is Jesus. I know it's a very simple message, but I think simple is good. The question is simple. Are you attached to Christ? Do you have a corroded relationship? Look, some people have a corroded relationship because of church. Don't let how somebody acted destroy your relationship with Christ. Because just because they were a dummy doesn't mean that God is. Like, I still go to the gym. There's people that agitate me there, but I still go. Never mind. I was going to tell the story. We just don't have time. Somebody got really mad at me one day. It was an accident. But the question is simple. I'm going to read it. So simple. The only way to Christ, the only way to life is Christ. Are you attached to Christ? Or is it time to give up the distractions? And if you're ready to give up the distractions, it's easy and it's simple. It's not hard. You don't have to give penance. You don't have to do jumping jacks. You don't have to say things 100 times. It's a shift in your own heart. It's a confession with your mouth. And it's a decision that I'm going to live different. And I'm going to get rid of the corrosion. And this is God's intent. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I think the first question is really this. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you don't, there is no other way to heaven. I know that there's this woke Christianity and this progressive Christianity, but it's not true. There's one way to heaven, and His name is Christ Jesus. He said it Himself. John chapter 14, verse 6. There is no other way to the Father except through me. And I don't want to have an invitation just so you can say, oh, I'm going to heaven. Heaven's great, but relationship is intention as well. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But I also want you to have everything He has for you on this earth, and it's through relationship. Today, if you're saying, I don't serve Jesus, and I know I need to get right with God, it's simple. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. We'll pray together. And you're ready to give your life to Jesus. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've started to live a lifestyle of sin and you don't know if heaven would be your destination because of the sin in your life. It's time to reconcile. If that's you today, you're saying, I'm ready to get right with God. I'm ready to start this relationship. I'm ready to have all the promises of God. I'm ready to attach. Will you just wave your hand at me? We want to pray with you. Amen. I see your hand. We want to give you a Bible. We want to start you on this run after Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Awesome. Let's all stand to our feet. And we're going to pray together. And then after we pray at the end of the service, Amanda's up here. Amanda has a green shirt. And she's got red hair. She's really hard to miss. She's awesome. She wants to give you a Bible, pray with you, answer any of your questions. Let's pray this together. Father, in the name of Jesus. No, come on, all of us. Father, in the name of Jesus. Today, I commit my life to you. I believe in my heart that who you are is who you say you are. That you died on the cross for my sins. And I repent of them today. In the name of Jesus, thank you for this new life. In your name, amen. Amen. Look, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or to reconcile, according to Scripture, you're now saved. And it's not like, that's a mouthful. That's not the finish line. That's the starting line. We want to help you right up here at the end of service. Also, I really want to challenge you. If you're living a lifestyle that's corroded in your relationship, today's your day to get rid of it. Today's the day where you decide, I'm going to fully attach to Christ. I'm getting plugged into the right thing. I'm not plugging into the dumb things anymore. I'm plugging into Jesus. And look, sometimes the wrong things aren't even bad things. They're just the wrong thing. So sometimes we try to make it out to be these crazy sins. Look, maybe you're just lazy. That's a pretty easy one. Maybe it's TV. Maybe you're really not doing anything crazy sinful. Maybe it's this weird hobby that like literally has, that is your pure obsession. Man, what if you obsessed over God like that? And that's the invitation that He has for you. Amen? 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 Will you put your hands together real quick for Jesus, and then Mindy is going to come take the offering.
All right, you guys can take a seat for a second. I promise I won't go long like Pastor does. But since Pastor does go long, we do have a few minutes to talk about it. Well, maybe. All right, guys. So I was praying because clearly this is like the one part of, you know, church that I don't do very often. So I was like, all right, Lord, what do you want your people to know? And this is kind of where He led me. So Proverbs 11, how many know the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom and gleaning knowledge and all sorts of things? Well, Proverbs 11 really stuck out to me because if you read through, it's talking about scales and when your weights are not balanced and there's unbalanced scales, like that's an abomination to the Lord. And then it goes into talking about a righteous person's stance with Jesus and then the wicked stance. But then the last part is what I want to focus on. Proverbs 11, 24 through 28, it's talking about our finances. It's talking about our giving unto the Lord. So I want to read these real quick and I just want to break this down for you because it's really powerful. So starting in verse 24, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. I want to break that down for you because this is powerful. Just in these couple verses right here, it's absolutely powerful in regards to our giving. Verse 24, it's talking about the godly or the righteous. They're going to be blessed when you give generously to the Lord and to the things the Lord has ordained or called you to give to. You are going to walk in constant blessing and favor in your life. I don't know about you. I want to be generous. I want to see God's blessing and favor in my life. Who else wants that? I mean, I think it would be crazy to stand up here and be like, who does not want to be blessed? That doesn't even make sense. But it goes on to say, when we are selfish or we withhold this is what we need to understand, withhold what he should give. So maybe you've been sitting in here for all these years and you've not given, even though you feel like you should have, because maybe, well, I have my bills to pay. And if I give, I'm not going to be able to buy groceries, or if I don't do this, or I can only give just enough. I can't give any more than that. It's already hard enough for, like, maybe you're that person. Or maybe God's called you to give a significant amount and you haven't stepped out and done it yet. God is the one who provides everything we have anyway. So when you withhold what's already his, you're not going to be blessed. And it says it very clearly right here that you will not be blessed. One who gives freely grows all the richer. Poverty will eventually find you is what it says. And you'll be consumed with an unsatisfied want. Have you ever been around somebody who all they do is constantly want everything? It's like they never talk about, I just want that. Oh, I wish I could get that. Oh, I just want that someday. And it's like constant want. It's never like a satisfaction. But I'm telling you, when you're generous and you give generously to the Lord, you know, there's literally times where, you know, we get pretty much anything that we want. And I'm bragging on God when I say that because... You know, we're not rich by a world standard. We don't have, you know, the finances that some people might have. But you know what? God, his favor and his blessing is on our life because we believe in these principles. And we're able to genuinely, did you know you can get to a place where you don't have to, like, have to want? You can want for nothing, really, because you're so filled and he takes care of you. He has that for each and every single one of us. It's not about, you know, a title or a position in a church. That's for you. And then it goes on to say in verse 25, God has promised to bless the generous with good things. And it says in here, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. But this, when I broke it down, because I love to look up the original meaning of these things, the word rich literally is translated to the word fat. And in back in the day, in other countries, if you were fat, larger, it was a sign of wealth. It was a sign of prosperity. It was a sign of good health in your life that you were taken care of. And this is what God wants for you. I'm not saying you need to go pack on the LBs, but man, he wants to bless you so you have more than enough. Rich literally means to have more than enough, overflowing. I just thought that was so cool. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But And then when we give, God can give unto us. When we water others, God will always water us. And we can't water if we're not watered ourselves. So I'm telling you, when you break these things down, every single verse within this is talking about being a generous giver, the righteous. And I know that this church, you are a people who are righteous before the Lord. Righteous, what is that again? Just to be in right standing with God, to abide, to obey his word and his commands. It's very simple. I think sometimes we make giving this hard thing, and it's not. Just give generously what he's asked you to give, and he will bless you. That's his true desire, is to bless you abundantly and above. And so we'll just skip right on down to 28, because this is the one that I really love. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. And this is what I love. When I broke this down again, this is what it said. That word fall, number one, riches is literally just your riches, your wealth, your money, your finances. But fall, when I looked up the Hebrew meaning in that, that was insane. To fail, fall, cease, rot, die, a fugitive, divide, loss, or to be thrown down. I don't know about you, but I don't want my life associated with any of those things. And this is what is told will happen when we're unwilling to give, or we withhold what God has asked us to give. But it says, the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. And I thought this was so cool because it goes along with Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I'm telling you right now, we may look at the world standards and it looks like we are in a year of drought. We came out of a year of drought. We know there's been job losses. People have had to rely on unemployment. People have had to rely on government assistance and checks. Like, we could sit there and say and look at the signs of the time and say, we are in a year of drought. But this says those who are righteous, those who give freely and generously to what the Lord has given them, they are like trees planted along the riverbank with deep roots that when the sun comes, they don't burn up, but they stay green. You will flourish in every season. I know for myself, and I know for many of you, 2020, and I'm even believing and declaring over you for 2021, you will only increase and flourish when you choose to stay in continuous, generous giving unto the Lord. I believe that. I mean, we increased. We didn't decrease. We didn't just maintain. We went above and beyond because God is faithful to take care of the righteous and those that are generous. And I believe that over you. I know that there's people in here who started businesses. Their finances went through the roof. And I'm declaring, I believe that that's going to be your story for 2021 as we continue in. Because who knows? We can't rely on the government. How many times has the government said, we're going to promise you this, and it doesn't happen? We can't rely on that, but we can always rely on God when we give generously. So go ahead and stand to your feet in this place. And I just want to add that it also talks about when God gives you direction to give towards a ministry where there's souls being saved, you will always walk in his favor and his blessing. So I'm going to encourage you. This house, we believe in salvation. We see salvation. You're sowing and giving your money into good ground. The day we stop talking about salvation and seeing souls saved, keep your money and put it elsewhere. All right? So I want to challenge you and encourage you today. If you've never been a giver, let today be that changing, that breakthrough in your life. And let God show you what he wants for you in your finances. Amen? So we're going to declare Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to make somebody else do it. So go ahead and confess this. Believe it in your heart. I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my
storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. If you're a child of God, say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. On your way out, you can go ahead and drop your offerings in the buckets on the way out. Make sure you're maintaining the CDC guidelines. And we love you. Enjoy your day.